Good morning, everyone. There's a story of a woman who was really tired of people speeding in front of the elementary school near her house. And there just seemed to be no policeman when they wanted one. And she got very inventive. One morning, she parked her car off the road in front of the elementary school, facing traffic, and then she stuck her hand out the window holding her black hairdryer. Suddenly, cars came to a quick crawl as they passed by the school. The story reminds me that we really do need to, I'm glad you, some of you laughed, because last service, people just looked at me and I said, what, did I miss something? The story reminds me that we really do need to pay attention to the world around us. Just like driving down a road without regard to the time of day in a school zone, we can sometimes go through life and not look at what's going on around us. Today is a special day in the life of the church. Many denominations recognize today as All Saints Sunday, the Sunday following All Saints Day, which was Thursday. There's a history on why All Saints Day falls where it does, why it goes so close to that, what we know as Halloween. I've mentioned this in several over the years past, so I'm not going to go into deep detail, but just to say briefly, Halloween has nothing to do with the church. Halloween has its origin in a Druid festival known as Samhain, a Gaelic word that doesn't look like it sounds. The festival and its has its origins in witchcraft spells along with animal and human sacrifice back in the day. Around the 800s, Pope Gregory, some say the third, some say the fourth, changed the date that was set aside to honor saints in the church to November 1st to counter the festival of Samhain. Halloween, a Western term, is derived from combining the evening before All Saints Day, as All Hallows' Eve is where we get the term Halloween. Now, if you look at police reports, Halloween is indeed a night of much occult activity. It is a night that has as its roots a night of fear. It is for that reason that many churches offer alternatives to Halloween. They have special celebrations about the saints or about the earth or God's creation. And that brings us to this special celebration of All Saints. What is All Saints Day? Well, when we think of the saints, we generally think of special individuals who have done something special in the life of the church. We might think of the disciples or the apostles, St. Mark or St. Matthew, St. John or St. Mary, Mother of Jesus. We might think of, in history of certain bishops that have done certain things like St. Patrick or St. Nicholas or St. Boniface. We may think more modern individuals who might be considered saints like Mother Teresa. But what is the true meaning of a saint? This is one of those areas we need to slow down and look at what's around us. The term saint literally means to be holy. Now get this, when you receive Christ into your life, you are made holy. You are washed in the redemptive blood of Jesus. As such, and as Paul addresses many times, we as a body of Christ are called saints. It is one of Paul's favorite terms to describe the body of believers. He opens many of his letters to the saints. But if I were to ask you to raise your hand, I'm not going to do this, but raise your hand if you think you're a saint. Probably not one of us would, because we wouldn't want to think too highly of ourselves, maybe. Or we might think that's kind of being conceited. There's also a price that many have paid to be holy, to follow in the call that God has in our lives. So I've mentioned often, we are truly blessed in this country to have the freedoms that we have to worship, to get up and come to church without any hassles whatsoever, except when the clock changes. And it is truly a blessing to truly follow Christ and honor Him and to give our total being to Him. to give our very lives to His glory. We have the freedom to share the love of Christ with someone who is hurting, to pray for someone if they're willing to receive that prayer. Many times we don't because we might be afraid of offending someone. There are places around the world where real sacrifices are indeed made for their faith in Christ. Let me share with you about a few of them, a few saints in other parts of the world. And these took place just in the past few weeks, as reported by the Voice of the Martyrs. In Jos, Nigeria, anti-Christian attacks continue, with hundreds being killed in their homes. The brutal attacks in northern Nigeria continue as God's word also continues to spread. There's a widow who is also the only support for her relatives, was forced out of her village in Lagos after giving her life to Christ. In India, a Christian pastor and a parishioner were assaulted and beaten because of their faith, and neighbors at the church had to take them to the hospital for treatment. In Indonesia, the government is shutting churches down, citing permit violations in order to silence the gospel message. In Central Asia, a taxi driver and his family have a house church and are being continually pressured to give it up. They have been told that if they leave Christianity, their lives will come back to normal again. And I could go on and on. But here's the good news. As was mentioned to you in my stewardship letter to you, God is on the move. In every one of those places, the gospel message is working. The Yeo people in Mozambique and Tanzania were once considered unreachable people, and now thousands are coming to Christ through the word. You see, around the world, God is moving in mighty ways. Some are meeting in basements and dark rooms, reading their Bibles by candlelight or flashlights so they won't be seen by others outside. These are saints who have made a choice because of the life-changing experience that they have had in Jesus Christ. Their choice was to experience the unconditional love of Jesus in their lives. Their choice is to walk in the assurance of who Christ is, no matter who they are or where they're at, or no matter what the cost. They know Him. They worship Him. They pray to Him. And they die for Him. These are saints who would love to enjoy the freedom of worshiping as much as they enjoy the freedom they have found in knowing who Jesus is in their lives as their Lord and Savior. All these individuals have experienced tremendous loss and persecution because of their faith. It's not unusual. Jesus did remind us of it. In John's Gospel, Jesus said this: "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you: no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they would obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." Without a doubt, Jesus faced persecution. He was tormented, spit upon, yelled at, and in the end died temporarily for who he was. What he is saying here is that if he resides in us as he does through his Holy Spirit, then we should expect persecution as well. Every one of Jesus' disciples experienced persecution. All but one was martyred. But they also experienced great victory along the way. Miracle after miracle was performed. Prayers were answered. They had joy in their ministry. And that is something I noticed in these individuals that I read about. Amidst what we in the West would consider tremendous persecution, they told of the great joy they had in knowing that Jesus is glorified. Even amongst tremendous grief and loss, they know where their final destination is. They know where their eternal home is. And they know the joy of the life they have in Christ, even in death. And that is exactly the message of our gospel that we heard today. Martha and Mary were struggling with that very issue. Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus were close friends with Jesus. They knew him well. Their home was his resting place when he was on his journeys. They knew him so well that both Martha and Mary say the same thing when Jesus arrived. If you had only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Lord, I know that you have seen and healed the sick. If you could only have been here. We sent for you, but you didn't come. Martha, Mary, and others gathered and knew what Jesus was capable of. But now it's too late. But there is a reason Jesus did not go. He didn't go because he knew God had a plan much bigger than anyone has yet seen. He didn't go because Jesus prayed, and he prayed and obeyed the Father's command. When he arrived, he was moved by what he saw. The grief of his friends grieved him. But what they had not grasped in all of this is the joy that will soon come. Jesus is taken to the tomb, and he has a stone removed, much to the reluctance of Martha, because being dead is one thing, but being dead for 4 days, that's not going to be pleasant. That's why this is so important. There is no doubt about this miracle. There is no question as to the condition of Lazarus. And what is about to happen is going to shake them like nothing else. You see, what Martha, Mary, and the others had not caught on to completely was the point Jesus was going to make. The fact that Lazarus died, the fact that he was 4 days waiting, the fact that he was raised from the dead, it all points to Jesus. He too will die. He too will be buried in the tomb. He too will rise to new life. But unlike Lazarus, he will not experience death again. He is the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in him will not die, but have eternal life. And he paved that way for us as well. We can have eternal life. But we have something more. We have the amazing gifts that he has given us through the Holy Spirit. We have the ability, the power, and the mandate to carry out God's will on this earth. A parishioner sent this to me a couple of weeks ago. It is a quote by the Archbishop Ben Kawashi of Jos, Nigeria. Bishop Ben said, "It is not the Church of God that has a mission in the world, but the God of mission who has a church in the world." How true that is. And where is the church in the world? Look around you. It is that neighbor across your fence. It is that person next to you in line wherever you are. It is all those shoeboxes that were being sent out over the next couple of weeks. It is those 40 plus kids that our parishioners sponsor in San Nicolas, Nicaragua. And as Bishop Ben said, it is wherever in the world God has his church, the body of Christ. And no matter where in the world we are, we share in the same hope given to us. John's revelation tells us, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" You see, even in death, we have life, life eternal. And what keeps the persecuted church going is the knowledge that for those who don't know Christ is eternal separation from God. So they stand on the streets and preach the word in their areas. In the fields, they share their testimony. In the prisons, they sing his praises. Their voices, the voice of the martyrs is in this world today, are still ringing and will continue to ring until Jesus returns. On this day, we remember as All Saints Day, or in All Saints Sunday, I remind you that people around this world are persecuted like we in the West will most likely, like I said before, never experience. That is, as long as our freedoms that we have aren't taken away. It's hard for us to really grasp the reality of all of that. The obvious question one might ask is, well, what can I do? I don't know where most of these people are. But God does. With the freedom we have in this country, we can freely express our thoughts. We can gather like today and pray for them and have worship and go to the Lord. We can freely reach out to anyone around us that we come across that the Lord puts in our path. I want to share a story with you that happened a couple weeks ago and this week. As many of you know, Debbie and I are working, we had to put her parents in assisted living. They went into assisted living, and we are trying to take care of their house over in Claremont, Central Florida, and get it ready to be sold. And we've been taking trips over there periodically, day trips, to do that, to help her sister. And as we were going up I-4 a couple of weeks ago, we stopped at the rest stop, and one of the veterans was selling veterans merchandise, hats and such, for one of the veteran groups. And this particular veteran had a Delta Sigma Pi shirt on. And I thought, that's strange. I'm a Delta Sigma Pi. It's a professional business fraternity that I belonged to when I was in college. And I went to the restroom, came out, and I went up and I said, so you're Delta Sigma Pi. And he said, busted. And he had bought the shirt at a flea market. And so, no, he wasn't, but we had a good laugh over that. We talked with one another. And then we left, and as I got up on I-4 again, I said, I wonder if I was supposed to say something. If that shirt was to get my attention somehow to pray with him. Well, Thursday, we went to Claremont again. We stopped at the same rest stop, and sure enough, there was that guy. And I came out, and I went up to him. He didn't have the Delta Sigma Pi shirt on. And I said, were you the same person who was here 2 weeks ago that had the Delta Sigma Pi shirt on? Do you remember me? He goes, yes, I do. You busted me. And so I started talking to him. I said, can I ask you a question? I said, do you have any prayer needs in your life? He says, yes. And he says, my left foot is hurting me. And my girlfriend is in jail. And he says, I need prayer. And I said, are you a believer? Do you know Jesus? He says, yes, I do. And I said, well, can I pray for you? He says, yes, you can. So we held hands. I got on my knees. And prayed for him. And after we were done, Debbie came out. And he says, hold on to that guy as we were leaving. And Debbie says, we've been together 41 years. He goes, 41 years, wow. And then I said, how's your foot feel? And he started shaking it. And he says, wow, it feels great, thank you. And so, you know, the Lord meets us in so many different places if we're willing to reach out. There's no other power on the earth like the power of prayer. Jesus demonstrated the awesome power of prayer, not only in the raising of Lazarus, but in everything that he did. And he has passed that on to us through the Holy Spirit. May the ministries and the freedoms we have continued to flourish as God directs us here in this community and not be ashamed of who we are in Christ. May we never be complacent in our freedoms that God has given us and never forget what he has called us to do with those freedoms that he has given us. So today I want to end this sermon with a prayer. A prayer that for those who have suffered so much, I also want to pray for us that God would indeed use us as a parish and as individuals. He has so much for us to do, so much for us to reach out to, just around us right here, if we are willing. May we pray. Father, in your psalm that we read today, you said, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol, but swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior." Father, we stand on that promise. So many people are suffering for your name around the world. Many who have given up everything to follow you. Families who have lost loved ones. Men and women who have lost jobs and livelihoods because of their faith in you, even in this country. Father, we pray that your hand be on them. We pray that you would release those in prison for your name's sake. We ask that you would restore blessings on those who have lost so much. We ask, Lord God, that the message of your word would not fall on deaf ears, but pierce the very soul of those who hear it. We pray, Lord God, that mountains would be moved in situations that would seem insurmountable. We don't know all of those who are suffering, but you do, Lord, so we hold them up to you now. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have given us. Help us, Lord, not to take those blessings for granted, so we ask that you would use us in ways that we never thought possible. We ask, Lord, for open doors. We ask, God, that you would open our hearts to be willing to pray, encourage us in our faith, strengthen us in our walk, empower us by your Spirit. And Father, may the work we do be pleasing to your sight, as we who are blessed with the freedoms we have reach out to the world that is crying out for something whole, something that will make them complete, something that can only be found in you. And we thank you for these opportunities, Lord, that you are giving us. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.